This is Chubby Ray Live. And here is your host, Mr. Ray Lytle.
Oh, yeah!
What can
nom,
I say?
Nom, 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 nom.
What can I say?
Nom, nom, nom.
Tonight we find out if Richard Albert from Lost is in fact an alien. Or an Egyptian. Or just how old he is.
They explained that last week, right?
No, they didn't. No, that's coming up tonight. Tonight's a big episode.
I think you're thinking of, what's his face?
Tonight's the big Richard episode. Can't wait.
I thought they explained it last week that he was on that boat, the Black Rock.
Yeah, but he didn't. No, he said he knew of the boat, but he didn't say he was on it, did he?
Yeah, and the reason why he stays young forever is because Jacob touched him.
Yeah.
It was his gift to him.
Did he touch him inappropriately?
He touched him, yes.
Right, the same way you touch this little boy's inappropriate.
Hold on a second. There's political music playing. This means we're going to start the show.
True as long as there's political music playing, Ray, perhaps I should read this really quick.
Wait a minute. What are you reading really quick?
Well, let me read this.
Well, you don't have. What are you? You're not. You don't make some statement.
I got two statements. One from Senator DeMint and one from John McCain.
Why don't you wait a second? Until I said earlier what we're going to do.
Well, I mean, but this is,
I
this is
run,
about health care.
You can run down your statements after I start the segment. What I said is I'm going to run down immediate benefits from health care, and I want
which haven't started yet, by the way.
Yes, some of them start as early as 30 days, my friend.
They haven't even passed it through the Senate yet, and it hasn't been signed.
They reconciled, my friend.
Yeah, they only voted on it in the House. They haven't voted on the Senate yet.
No, what they did is they took the bill that the Senate passed months ago.
Okay, then the president hasn't signed it yet.
The president signed it this morning at 10:15 our time.
No, I didn't read that.
Done deal. Okay, so these will be kicking off within 30 days. I just want to name some of them, okay? Tell me what is wrong with these things. I just want you to tell me why these are bad things.
Sure.
And why they deserve to be picketed and such vitriol coming from the opposition. What is bad about these things, okay?
Sure.
Number one, as of today, the president signing the bill, it is a fact now that pre-existing condition exclusions for children are now gone.
Okay,
for example, if your child has a disease and you get a new job and you want to get and you enroll in your new job's insurance provider, they can no longer say we're not going to cover your child because they have this because they have diabetes or they have cancer Tell me what's
bad. I'm going to go with Gully on this one. Gully, I'm going to pretend that Gully is my insurance provider, and I have a sick child. Gully, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pay for all the health care for my child, which could be, you know, let's say we'll use the example you said yesterday, that he's got cancer. Okay? And his cancer cost per month is going to be, we'll say it's a low ball figure. Let's say $1,500 a month. Okay, Gully? I want you to pay that right away. And in return, what I'm going to give you is $300 a month. So you have a negative every month of $1,200.
That's the cost of running an insurance business.
I'm sure the gains they make with the premiums paid for people who don't claim more than covers it. So
okay, so
who's so, so it's
cover?
Okay to lose money on somebody.
Yes, it's insurance. It's a risk business. Of course you lose money. They lose money every. You know that's what they do.
That's really going to be the problem with this bill.
Okay, Gorilla. Let me ask you this because you see your arguments. This is a problem with your side. Your arguments are so hypocritical. Because
not at all.
Yes,
not at all.
All right. Let me ask you: if they don't cover the child, who covers the child now, Gorilla?
The parent does.
And then what happens? A parent can't possibly pay those bills. What do the parents do?
They go into bankruptcy, right?
And then who covers the cost?
Everybody else does.
Right. Now, you hate the fact that somebody's getting something for nothing. You hate the fact that the tax dollars have to cover people. Tell me how this is. What is worse for you, Gorilla? What is worse for you?
No. They're not. The insurance company or the parents at this point, when they go into bankruptcy, the cost gets deferred and they get to write the money off as a non-payment, which means that they don't have to pay as much in taxes. But actually, the people don't cover it. It's that they don't have to pay the tax on the money they didn't earn.
Somebody pays the bills, Gorilla. You said it yourself.
Okay, so you're telling me that every time somebody goes into bankruptcy, the federal government pays the bill?
No. Not every time,
exactly.
There's insurance providers that pay it as well.
The whole thought of going bankrupt for medical care,
but
to take care of after a sick child.
The family becomes indigent, and the child still has to get health care. And that health care is provided through a government-based system.
Here's the real problem I have with it, Ray. Here's the real problem I have with the whole thing.
I'm just telling you, tell me something that is wrong about a child getting treatment for cancer.
There's nothing wrong with a child getting treatment for cancer.
All right, next thing.
Okay, wait. Let me put this out there. Hold on.
All right.
Here's the problem with the health care as it is now. Mm-hmm. Everybody's going to think it's going to be status quo for a while. Eventually, the government itself is going to start providing insurance because that's where it's going to have to go, no matter what. Whether or not it's in this bill or not, it doesn't matter. Eventually, they will have to.
Okay.
What the difference between the government
and an insurance company? When we get a time machine, and time machines become part of the equation, we'll look at the future. Right now, we're going to look at
what passed yesterday. Here's the problem with it in a nutshell, mm-hmm. is that an insurance company cannot run in the red, ever. Otherwise, they lose investors.
They won't run in the red.
They do not run in the red, Ray.
And they won't.
They will. Because when the government starts offering health care insurance to people, they can run in the red because they already do run in the red. Nobody can compete with a business that says it's okay to lose money. Mm-hmm. If Kmart runs in the red, guess what? They go under. Walmart picks up their business.
Mm-hmm.
If Kmart was allowed to continue on, because the government, or because they were, for some reason, could print their own money, then guess what? Walmart can't continue.
Okay, well, they didn't pass a public option this time, so let's talk
Not now.
I know, but let's talk.
Coming.
I know, but that's. Let's talk but about.
It's coming. That's what this whole thing is about.
This whole thing is about
structure.
Are people on your side picketing to keep children from getting coverage?
That's not what it's about.
Also, people
are picketing because this is the foundation of their goal.
It's a ridiculous. Listen, my friend, it's a ridiculous argument to say this is what.
No,
you're talking about what could happen. You're talking about what could happen. You know what?
Not about what could happen.
Gorilla.
What's going to happen?
No, you're making predictions. You don't know what's
going to
happen.
You know what's going to happen.
I hope it does happen.
Look at me right in the eye.
There's never going to be a public option. I hope it does. I hope there is a public option.
Okay. And that's the whole problem. It's children getting health insurance.
It does. Yes.
Nobody in this country is heartless. What they're saying is that in the end, we will have one option. One.
Right now, you have a lot of options.
Everything they've done is so that the insurance companies will lose money.
You made your point. Here we go. Number two. You actually didn't have an option until today when the president signed this, because now you can switch insurance companies. You can shop for new insurance and be covered even though you have pre-existing conditions. Now, let's look at what these pre-existing conditions are. Gorilla seems to think that every pre-existing condition is something that's very, very expensive. For example, my wife has allergies. Okay? If she wanted to leave, and we discussed leaving her at-work insurance provider to go to an independent one, and we shopped prices and found a reasonable price, but then they told us, well, no pre-existing conditions would be covered for 2 years. And we said, well, that's good because we don't have any pre-existing conditions. And they said, well, actually, allergies is a pre-existing condition. Your husband's had knee surgery, so any joint pain or anything, that's a pre-existing condition. Your child has any kind of little piddly thing is a pre-existing condition. Until today, now you actually do have choice because you, all Americans, will be getting immediate access to insurance and they'll not have the pre-existing exclusion when switching insurance plans.
This is the same argument you just gave me, and I'll give you the same argument again. What you're saying is that it's okay for the government to tell a business.
No, listen, Gorilla, this one is not the same.
It's okay
this
for the
one is not the same thing as we just talked about.
Business.
This one's different. This one has to do with competition in your beloved free market.
No, it doesn't have anything
yes,
to do with competition.
Yes, it does.
You can
rule,
still switch insurance companies. Nobody's saying you can't
I know,
switch insurance
but Gorilla,
companies.
You, but, who do, but no one does because
well,
they can't get pre-existing conditions
by way,
covered.
By the way, I have switched insurance companies.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank God you don't have migraines or allergies or anything that wouldn't have been covered.
I actually do have allergies.
Or God forbid you were a pregnant woman when you tried to make this switch.
Yeah, and that's going to be a great one, too.
God forbid.
Yes, God forbid you should actually have insurance before you get knocked up.
Well, no, we're not talking about that, Gorilla. We're talking about people who maybe switch a job, or I know this is shocking, but some people lose their jobs in today's economy, which has been blown all to hell over the last 10 years of ridiculous politics.
Yeah, like spending $1 trillion on something
on
that doesn't
exist.
The
Iraq War? Are you talking about the Iraq War? Because I agree with you on that. Is that what you're talking about?
Oh, they didn't spend $1 trillion in Iraq.
Really?
That's
how much did they spend? How much did they spend, Gorilla?
$1 trillion bailing out banks.
How much did they spend? Right. You're right. No, you're exactly right. Bush should never bail out those banks in September of 08.
You're right.
And Obama shouldn't have bailed them out in February of 09.
I agree completely.
Provide immediate access to insurance for uninsured Americans who are uninsured because of a pre-existing condition through temporary high-risk pool. I just talked about that. Prohibit dropping people from coverage when they get sick in all individual plans. Tell me.
Again,
why
this
are
goes
people
back to
picketing?
Them,
okay,
them being but, a business and have to turn
okay,
a profit.
But Gorilla, you got insurance. You pay your insurance every month. Every month you pay your premium. Then you well, get cancer. The reason, the main, this is why we have insurance. And then you get cancer, and the insurance company says, you know what? You're going to be too expensive. We're going to drop you. Even though you've done nothing except get sick. It
God
was legal.
That the insurance company should want to turn a profit. Oh,
okay,
my God.
But Gorilla.
No,
the
no.
reason you buy insurance, the reason we buy insurance is to protect us. In cases like this, you're telling me you have no problem with insurance companies dropping people when they get sick?
No, management has the right to reserve, refuse service to
anyone.
Oh,
my God. Gorilla. There comes a point where standing up for your side
and by the way,
cross.
They don't do that very often.
They do it. They
let
do
me,
it.
Let me tell you, let me tell you something.
I've got a little nephew right now with Falcone's anemia who's been trying to keep his life saved for 2 years.
And
guess what?
He
was dropped. He was dropped. And thank God the United States government had insurance to cover him to where he could be covered and see a specialist in Cincinnati, or he would be dead now. Talk to my brother about what happens when you get dropped. Talk to me what happens when my wife went on life support and had to stay in the hospital.
I heard the story.
Yes.
I think this whole thing is insane. Surely the health and welfare of the people
should
be put first.
It is now illegal. I think it's illegal for them to drop you because you get sick. Listen, if that was what they do, then they shouldn't have called it insurance because the reason we buy insurance, is to protect us. God forbid, in case we get sick.
The insurance companies start dropping off, right? Because they're running in the red.
Let me quote you.
Then everybody
will
be screwed.
Then I will quote you. Let me quote you in what you said about AIG. and what you said about the financial crisis. The strong will survive.
That's right.
The strong.
But now the rules are stacked against the people who actually provide the
strong will survive.
And then now when Company A closes because they got screwed by the government,
okay,
and everybody from Company A who caused Company A to crash goes to Company B and causes that one to close.
Okay, here we go. Tax credits to small businesses to purchase coverage at a reduced rate.
Which is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
This is so that small businesses can compete with big business when trying to give benefits to their employees. What's wrong with it?
Okay, now, this is the thing he said yesterday, that they're going to save money doing this.
What this is, that they are allowed to team up. Listen, right now, there are reduced rates for big companies because they have so many employees. So they get a reduced rate, and they get kickbacks of these PPOs and these health managers.
Got no problem okay. with little businesses.
The small businesses, now small businesses can pull together. Well, you understand this. They can
got
now
no
pull together and get
no
a reduced
problem.
Rate. Okay.
No problem with them getting together
and
get rate.
And they'll
what
get
I'm saying,
a tax
what
credit
I'm saying,
in doing so.
The tax credit, what I'm saying is I'm saying that your statement was ridiculous, that they're going to save money by offering insurance to people who had no insurance before.
No. They'll save money
by
being able to pull together with other small businesses in order to offer their employees insurance. Right now,
small businesses
are behind the eight ball for two reasons. Number one, they lose employees because their benefits package isn't as good as some of the bigger companies. Number two, they have to pay so much to give benefits to their employees that it breaks them.
Or they don't offer the benefits.
Or they don't offer. You're absolutely correct, yes.
What you were saying yesterday was that they were going to save money by offering insurance to their employees, which is untrue.
They will.
Because they would get tax credit. No, here's the thing. So let's say the insurance per person is $500, mm-hmm. okay, per month. And then the person who gets the insurance pays a little bit of that, or it's whatever. It's not important. But they get a tax credit of $200. That's still a negative of $300. They're not saving any money.
Gorilla, you cannot have full time employees and not offer them some type of benefits. They had to have insurance for their employees.
You can. It happens all the time in this country.
Well, surely
we really don't have people
they're
like
not,
the streets dying.
They're not technically. They're not technically full-time employees, and
because they don't get health insurance, they're not full-time employees.
No, if you are labeled a full-time employee, you have to offer them benefits. It's a law.
Surely, though,
offer them benefits. You have to offer them unemployment insurance. You have to have them covered through a liability insurance. You
Which
have
right.
to offer them benefits. If you have a full-time
employee...
You don't
have to offer them health insurance.
Yes,
that's
you
not
do.
One of the,
yes, you do. Not. You have to offer them health insurance if you have full-time employees. There's actually a number. If you have more than...
Right, it's more than 20, I think.
I don't know if it's... Is it 20? It might be less than that, but it's...
I think it's 20.
Then you have to offer them insurance.
But I'm saying for small businesses to band together, they didn't have to offer them health insurance. What you're saying, what you said yesterday... Versus what you're saying today are two totally different things. That small business to get together, good idea. You're right. That's a good idea.
Thank you.
They could have done that before. There was no law preventing them from doing that.
Sure there was. There was. No. This eliminated that.
And
surely,
I have no problem. Go ahead.
All right, here's another one.
Wait. Let go. Do his thing.
Well, surely, if your employees have access to healthcare and are looked after properly, then they're going to put more days in work, making you more money. You know, if you're healthy, you're happy, you're working. Easy equation to make.
Now here's the other thing, too.
Right.
I don't have a problem with the government saying that people can pool together and buy health insurance as a group rate.
Mm-hmm.
No problem. I don't even have a problem with the government running that.
Mm-hmm.
None at all. What I'm saying is, when they're saying... how they're going to regulate how insurance is given to people, that's when I have the problem.
And we will agree on this. This is not as much of a healthcare reform bill as it is a regulation of the insurance industry, Bill. That's what this is.
And that's the problem.
This is a regulation of the insurance industry. The insurance industry, which has been making obscene profits for many, many years.
Which is about to turn red.
And I'll tell you,
and I'm going to hold you to this because I have it right here.
All right.
I have it right here on this sticky note right here. Yeah. It says the top thing, Ray will apologize when healthcare costs jobs and finishes off the economy.
Yes. I will definitely apologize.
I'm waiting for that day.
And I will wait for you to apologize when it works.
Which it won't. I have no doubt in my mind that this is going to fail horribly.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do. I will say that this is a regulation of an industry that has been making obscene profits. And I'll tell you, it's just number one. I think he's going after the oil industry, and he'll be doing it next. I know they will. Boy, they'll pay off those Republicans like the healthcare industry did.
Oh, no, they won't.
And they'll also try to pay off the Democrats just like the insurance companies did.
All they have to do is for one day stop shipping out gasoline. One day.
Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
And then they'll say, you want to try that again? We'll do it for 2 days.
There's a new day coming, my friend.
Yeah, hope and change. I'm waiting for 2012.
There's a new day coming. You know, I get the feeling about Obama. He knows that he's pissing these white people off so much. You know, it's kind of like the first black guy that joins the country club. He knows damn well he's going to join the country club, have a birthday party, and his relatives are going to do something stupid. So he knows he's only a one-term member, but he don't care. He's going to have fun while he's doing it. I get the feeling from Obama, he knows there's a chance he might just get one term. So he's going to come in, do some good, get the hell out, and go be commissioner of the National Basketball Association.
All right, next point.
I'm telling you. No, I mean, that's enough. There's I can do six more, but we're already
past 5 o'clock. I want to read my notes then, if I could.
Right, go ahead.
Because I listened to all of Friday's show. I didn't get to finish all of yesterday's
show. Friday's
show.
Okay.
Because I wasn't on Friday either. This is what I learned by listening to the Chubby Ray Live.
Okay. This is what Gorilla learned, everybody.
It's a learning process.
Conservative hate Ray, especially on Facebook.
Okay.
I learned that.
Yes.
Sean prowls for Schlong on Chat Roulette.
He does, yes.
Ray spanked the monkey. Congratulations, Ray.
Thank you.
Wait. Here we go.
Was that your bell?
Yes, it was.
It sounds sickly. You should lift it before.
Sounds unwell. It's an unwell bell.
It sounds very unwell. Okay.
Doesn't matter. Gully is a drunk.
Yes.
I learned that by listening to the show. Yes. That's note one. Note two, Ray's wife, this is the one where I was talking about your wife. Okay. Ray's wife does filthy stuff in Ray's mind.
Yes.
By the way, that was very hot, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you.
He had to stop himself for a minute.
This one also involves your wife.
All right.
And I want you to tell her that I am sorry about this, but Ray is a minute man.
What does that mean? What do you mean a minute man?
I said, took you 30 seconds. It was less than a minute.
Yeah,
I'll give you the full one.
When I was doing my thing.
Uh-huh.
Hey, by the way, I don't want to brag, but this last weekend.
Yeah.
Let me leave it
45
at
seconds. Woo.
Oh, not with her. Like that with her.
I have more, Ray. I have...
All right.
Let's see.
Hey, can I ask... Can I make this statement really quick?
Sure.
You guys have seen what my wife looks like, okay?
Just saw her a few minutes ago.
You've seen what I look like.
Uh-huh.
Do you really, really think I'm lousy in bed? You look at her. No, you look at her. You look at me. I just want to bring this up. And I don't talk about my bedroom habits. Well, not graphically, but... Yeah, I know, I always do. But do you really think if I was awful at loving my wife, that she would still be around? Really? I mean, what do I have to offer? If I was, don't you think if I was bad at doing that, if I was bad at sex, don't you think that would be the final straw? I mean, do you really think we'd be together if I didn't know what I was doing in the bedroom?
Here, so I got more, Ray.
Are you like King Dong, Ray?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we have a very, we always have and we continue to have, we're Latin. We always have and continue to have a very strong, passionate, and very enjoyable sex life. All right, go ahead.
For 45 seconds.
Congratulations.
For 45 seconds.
We sleep, at least we sleep in the same bedroom.
Here we go. Ray, here we go. This is the next one right here.
Okay.
This is what I learned. Ray abuses animals by kicking them when they are ashamed of him.
That was Friday's show. Yes.
Yeah, I'm still on Friday's show. Right?
Okay.
I had two pages of notes from Friday. Ray likes to whore himself out to Pepsi.
Yeah. Well, they're up in my grade school, so I gladly will.
Yeah, I saw that. I actually signed up for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, I signed up for it.
I appreciate it.
I'm from the area, so I understand.
Hey, by the way, I want to thank everybody in Gully's family. I think every member of his family also posted it in England yesterday, and I really appreciate that.
Well done. I'd like to pull you up on the fact you called me a drunk, by the way. Where does this emanate from?
You admitted that you're a drunk.
Yeah, you're a drunk.
Yeah, you admitted it. Gully, you said it on Friday.
Okay, maybe it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here we go.
I couldn't read line.
This is the last thing I have from Friday's show.
All right.
That Sean is desperate enough to stroll for Strange on the Chubby Ray Live listeners base.
Oh, absolutely.
Here we go. Now, Monday's show.
I only have
you for Monday.
Did you hear the P-Double letter?
No, I didn't. I didn't get that far on Monday.
Oh, you didn't hear the letter we read from P-Double?
Don't tell me. I want to listen to it.
Oh, no. I might have to reread it.
All right, if you reread it, that's fine.
Okay.
The time frame was the for Monday shows that you will apologize when I'm right.
All
right. Well, not just me, by the way, all the conservatives. That
I will.
Includes, and you will, by the way, when you do apologize,
mm-hmm.
you will specifically mention Glenn Beck's name.
All right.
The question of yesterday of why I was here, I did not get kicked out of the house.
Oh, congratulations. Good. We're happy.
I was actually watching a friend's child yesterday.
Oh, you're very sweet. Your girlfriend?
A friend, right.
Is it your mistress's friend that your mistress's son?
Friend, right.
Oh, okay.
It's one of the many children he's had around the country.
So your future stepchild you were watching?
And the last one, Ray,
mm-hmm.
is that yesterday you compared an inalienable right to an entitlement.
No.
Yeah. And that's it. You've compared women's suffrage to
health. I'll give you that. Yeah. Yeah,
I'm done. That's all I got. What I
want to read this letter. I want to read this letter because I can't believe you didn't hear the letter.
Oh, hold on a second. Let me get a water real quick.
Okay.
I still have the headphones on.
I mean, Gully, don't you think he needs to hear the letter? I mean.
Oh, yeah. Needs to be kept off today.
Yeah.
I would certainly hope so, anyway.
The letter was a major...
Okay.
The letter that P-Double wrote was a major thing that had to do with... it was a major gorilla thing.
Oh, yeah. We need to keep you informed.
By the way, P-Double is a man, and I have respect for all people in the armed forces.
Mm-hmm.
They are... It doesn't matter where you are in the world. You wear the uniform, you get my respect.
He's amazing, and he talks about where he's living, and I'll read it. I want to read his letter. I read it yesterday, and I'm sorry if you guys got to hear it again, but it was a great letter. It really was a great letter.
We'd like to share.
Let's see. Let me see. Let me get to it.
Should have noise if like going into a filing cabinet or something.
Hey, by the way, will you people stop opening the stupid YouTube video on Facebook? I'm sick of getting 15 emails a day from people who have a virus. Seriously, can we please stop that?
Is there like a Facebook virus going around?
Yeah, there's this YouTube video that people open. It's a virus and.
There's one where you, it's called Stalker application, and you should use looks at your profile.
You know what? If anybody sends you a YouTube video on Facebook in your email, don't open it. YouTube videos can be placed right on the front page of Facebook. Why the hell would you do it in your email? Okay, so here we go. I'll summarize the letter. Ray, just wanted to tell you I got the internet here. I've been downloading your shows for the last week. It's nice to have something comforting from home to listen to when I head to the gym or just lay in my bed. I currently live in Jalalabad, Afghanistan. It's a pretty barren, rough place. If there was a metaphor for Vanilla Gorilla's marriage, Jalalabad is it.
Yep, saw that one coming.
Just wanted to write a letter to say the show's been really good lately. I really like how you and Gorilla talk about politics. See, he enjoys when you and I discuss politics. Because you know what we do? We get heated sometimes, but we still like each other afterwards. And by the way, can I point out that Gorilla and I are a nice example of how it should be done. You can disagree with a person and still like them. And people seem to think that if you disagree with someone, you have to spit on them and call them nigger or faggot or you know what I mean? Or disown them or stop talking to them. It's ridiculous in this country, which, by the way, our country is a country that is based, its creation was based upon debate. And our system of government is supposed to be debated. Debate is something that's at the core of every democracy. For people to argue so much and then decide they don't like someone because of it really is ridiculous. So I do like to say that Gorilla and I disagree vehemently on a lot of these issues, but we still get along afterwards. Will you guys please use us as an example?
He actually gets along with you. He just hates me and say that I love penises most of the time.
Of course, there was also, right, this country was founded on politicians killing each other as well.
Well, yeah,
right. Well, that can't be helped.
Well, thank God. And slavery. Let's not forget slavery.
No, let's not. But, consider Byrne and Hamilton.
I really like how you and Gorilla talk about politics, blah, blah, blah. All right. And then Gully eventually responds by inflecting humor and saying, I don't know anything about American politics, over and over again. I really loved conservative commentator Vic. I am sure Vanilla Gorilla will be claiming he is the greatest commentator on internet radio within a week if he keeps making appearances on the show. My question is, would Vic be willing to skim money from veterans for his own personal use, like Sean Hannity? I'd be willing to get blown up so that Vic could use my story for his own personal gain. I'm not one of those losers who die so Sean Hannity can profit. I need someone with actual talent to profit from my demise. By the way, he loved conservative commentator Vic, as I'm sure Gorilla did too.
Yeah, except for he didn't quite...
Ray, I had to watch the healthcare vote this morning, last night your time, and I was glad to see you were posting the updates. It's funny to watch the Fox News crew on your friends list have their heads explode. It makes me laugh when the party that will tell you all about Jesus tells us how all these new people will have healthcare, so we might be inconvenienced by poor people going to the doctors. Remember what Jesus said in Mark 14:32: "Out of the way, mother effa! You don't make as much money as me, so you must die on the street." Well, I got to go. I could talk healthcare retardation all day, but I've got to hit the gym. Got to stay in shape. You know, he is at war. Great shows. Keep them coming. That's from P-Double. So there you go. There's most of P-Double's letter that he sent that we read yesterday. So, Jalalabad, hey?
Sounds like a bad place to be.
Jalalabad? Mm.
Certainly sounds it.
Jalalabad. Gorilla's marriage.
Rocky Road to Ruin.
Summed up and compared to one city in the world.
To a war-torn. Messed up. Broken city.
Jalalabad. Oh, God. Yeah, so at least P-Double hasn't been shot. Or,
Oh, that's good.
Hey, you listen to Sean Hannity, don't you, Gorilla?
No, not normally, no.
You haven't? Okay, I wanted to know if
fan of Hannity.
I want to know if he made mention of that, because that story seems to have some type of legs. Now, I got to be honest, I'm not a big Sean Hannity fan, but I would seriously doubt that Sean Hannity is running his own charitable organization.
He is, actually.
I'm just saying from this regard. I've had a charitable organization since I started in radio. I've had done little charity things. We started doing things in the old show on Peoria back in 1991. And actually, listener Deb, who doesn't have internet at the moment, but she hasn't been in the chat room for a month because of her internet being down. But listener Debbie, who's in lives in Wisconsin. I used to live in Peoria. She would actually handle a lot of that for John and I back in the day. Okay, you know, money and it's dispersal, and we did a toy drive every year and all of that stuff. Okay, so then we also I had the Ray Cares Foundation when I was here, which I had people here that helped me run that. Okay, so I'm just saying that just because you're behind a charitable thing, I'm going to give Sean Hannity the benefit of the doubt and say that I don't think, I would seriously doubt he's in charge of all of the charity stuff. So yeah, it looks like somebody's pocketing money, a considerable amount of money. But they are, they're really going after Hannity on this one. And I think we'll know who's responsible when the IRS gets done doing the investigation of it. Because in order to keep a tax-free exempt status, you know, a tax-exempt status, you have to give so much to the charity. And it looks like they only gave about 4%. Out of the millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars that they brought in. So it does look really bad. And P-Double made a comment about Vic and soldiers dying. It is kind of unfair to say that Sean Hannity used soldier death to benefit from, because we don't know. If it's true, then I think Sean Hannity's a scumbag anyway. But I just think he's a scumbag for other reasons. I don't think he's a scumbag because of that. However, if it's true, then I will call him a scumbag for that as well, and I think everybody will, because that's to have a charity that's supposed to pay for children, of fallen soldiers to go to college and pocket the money would be really is one of the most atrocious things I've ever heard of. You know,
it would be a disgrace.
They're serving our country. And there's nothing, it's so sad to me, outside of a child dying, I can't think of anything worse than I just can't think of anything worse than a soldier dying and to be the wife or a child or parent of someone who dies fighting in Iraq. It's just, I couldn't even fathom it. And then to have someone take the emotion that people feel for that, and ask people and tug at people's heartstrings and motivate them to give money. Because let's face it, the people who bought those tickets and bought the items and made the donations, they bought money with the intention of their money, at least 80% of it, going to provide for the children of these fallen soldiers to go to college. And to find out that only 4% of the money went. That's just disgusting.
That is a disgrace.
It is disgraceful, and I hope that's not true. So, it was, I don't know. I think that's one of the worst stories I read all weekend. And it was kind of overshadowed by healthcare, but I hope that comes back up, because they really need to investigate the people he was in business with of that when it came to that, because that's ridiculous. And the other thing is, it looks like these country artists that were playing, you know, because he'd have these concerts, and I don't watch Fox News a lot, but he had these concerts, I guess, and these country acts would play the concerts.
Yeah.
And they promoted.
Toby Keith is the big one.
Yeah, and it looks like these guys were playing these charity events and getting paid.
Wow.
And I got to tell you something. I've played many charity events with my band, and I've never received payment. Now, there were times where I didn't have to pay production costs. Because there are production costs with every show. Mm-hmm. Like if you have to rent a big sound system, you got to pay for that. And I have played charity events where they covered the cost of the sound system. But I've also played charity events where I covered the cost of the sound system. And not just me, that was everybody in my band, taking money out of a future gig in order to cover those costs. So we've done it both ways. But it looks like a lot of these country artists got paid to do it.
Papa.
Which, that's really not a charity event when you're getting paid to do it.
No. Seems like people have been ripped off there, and they've done it the wrong way.
But there is a lot of news in the world. It's a Tuesday, which is when we usually do our news. We call it a Tuesday News Day. The one and only Vanilla Gorilla is back. Gorilla, how are you doing, by the way? It is weird having you miss two shows in a row. It's not something you usually do.
Oh, you know, it was... I didn't expect to miss yesterday's show. It was just kind of one of those things that just popped up, you know. It was kind of an emergency situation. So, what are you going to do?
And you being a decent person helping out.
Oh, yeah.
What a guy.
Thank you.
That must mean you have plenty of news stories saved up for us. Tuesday News Day, here's Vanilla Gorilla with the news.
Hello, Raymond.
Hello, bro.
Delano, California is where we start today, Ray. Gotta love the left coast.
All right, we're starting in California.
A substitute teacher was arrested Monday morning in Delano after being investigated for indecent exposure.
What? A substitute teacher?
Substitute teacher, right. Delano police were called to the Cesar Chavez High School around 10:30 a.m. after a reported incident of the indecent exposure.
Wait, but he was indecent at the school?
No. It was a woman. Oh, I'm sorry. No, it was a man. They arrested 59-year-old Matthew Davis, reportedly for urinating in the classroom.
No. So the substitute is the classroom for the toilet.
Why?
He's been charged with 15 felonies, right?
Good. In front of the students?
And apparently there were five students because he's charged with five felony counts of indecent exposure, five felony counts of lewd and lascivious acts, and five felony counts of child endangerment.
Why was this person urinating in front of students in his classroom?
You know what? It never, ever gives a reason.
There's no explanation.
Now, every time you want an explanation, there's nothing.
He's got to be drunk or something.
What? I don't understand.
You've got to be drunk to do something like that. Too much hookers and blow.
I don't know if there's anything I can do to top that story. Story number two, Tuesday News Day, Vanilla Gorilla.
Minneapolis, Minnesota, Ray.
All righty.
Now, I want to point out that people in Minneapolis are the craziest, or in Minnesota, the craziest people ever. Because they're the ones that voted in Jesse Ventura. And by the way,
They voted in, Minnesotans voted in Jesse Ventura,
yep.
Al Franken.
Yeah.
Have you seen this crazy, this Michelle Bachmann?
I've heard of her. I don't know.
Ultra conservative lunatic. She makes a Sarah Palin look like a Harvard professor. And then they also voted in, please forgive me for not knowing his name, the Muslim guy. Remember the extreme Muslim? There's a Muslim congressman who was the guy who used the he had controversy because he was sworn in with the Quran and with and then he made, I can't remember the statements, but he made some statements when he first got in that scared people to death.
And that's Minnesota.
From Minnesota. So talk about a state that it doesn't care what political party you're from.
Or how just amazingly, amazingly just wacko you really are.
It's like the nuttier, when it comes to Minnesota, the nuttier the better. Okay. Well, go ahead. What happened in Minnesota?
The north side of I-35, or I'm sorry, just north of the I-35 east and west split at 5:42 p.m. yesterday.
I know where that is.
There was a gentleman who was walking down the road yelling and taking off his clothes in the median of the interstate. When the police came up to him, Ray, he said, and I quote, "He had killed God, now he was God," and that he was a devil. And he begged for the officers to shoot him because he had, quote, "the code to heaven."
Did they shoot
okay.
him?
They tasered his ass.
Was his blood content 90% PCP or something?
So they tasered him.
They said it was a lot of heroin in his system.
Yeah, you never notice, crazy people always get very religious. When people go crazy, it's always, there's a religious element.
Like when well, we all know religion's full of crazies, right?
Well, I'm just saying that when you start to go crazy, for whatever reason, there's always some type of religious thing that happens. You know what I mean? They somehow,
yeah.
They talk to God, or they know God, or they're the devil, or...
They go bowling with God on Wednesday.
Yeah, a lot of crazy people get really religious. Or not really, but a lot of crazy people, somehow their craziness is border... I shouldn't say they get religious, but their craziness is somehow centered around religious figures. Very odd. Is there a chance that this man was God?
There's always a chance, right?
Okay.
God likes to get high too, right?
Oh, he does.
That's right.
I didn't know.
Well, it seems to be heroin.
You want to hear some other crazy religious stuff?
Did this guy said or somebody else?
Somebody else, Ray. Hit me the sounder.
All right. What else?
Let's head over to Tampa, Florida, Ray. A Polk County woman who died during a religious fast was dead for several days when her family found her, according to the 911 call.
She was having a religious fast.
Yes, she'd been fasting for 3 weeks. But they said that she'd been dead for a few days.
So I guess she really wasn't fasting for 3 weeks.
Well, she was fasting for 3 weeks.
She was fasting for at least two. So.
Well, yeah, two.
I mean, when you're dead, you're no longer fasting. You're.
Oh, you're still fasting. You're right. Not eating, right?
Well, yeah, but no, you're not. You have to be alive to be fasting.
That's not true at all.
No, if you're dead, if you're dead and not eating, you're not fasting.
He came back.
Well, she's not like Jesus. She's it's Jesus. Not, she's about as much Jesus as the guy, the nut on the Minnesota
Jesus
interstate.
I wouldn't say it was fasting. It's more like stopping than fasting, let's be honest.
She's not fasting. She's feeding. She's feeding probably her dogs or rats or something, whoever were gnawing off of her.
Now she's feeding the worms.
I got to be honest. I don't think I could fast.
No.
I think you could, right?
I don't think I could. I like eating too much. I can't even diet consistently. How the hell can I fast?
I have to agree. I find it rather difficult to fast.
Hey, by the way, speaking of fasting, did you see that the coach of the Jets, that Rex Ryan, got the lap band surgery? He's already dropped like 30 or 40 pounds in, you know, short amount. He's already dropped a bunch of weight in a short amount of time.
Crap, I forgot to tell you my story.
By the way, if they really want to help healthcare, they need to do more preventative diseases like offer. They need to offer lap band surgeries to people and healthy eating education and make exercise more. You know what I mean? Make health club memberships tax deductible, things like that. Encourage people to lose weight and become healthier, and maybe that would help with some of the healthcare costs. Just a thought.
We need Poolside Pat to call in, Ray.
That's a crazy thought. Why? What's with Poolside?
Well, Poolside seems to know a lot about dreams, and I had a really weird dream last night.
Oh, here
night,
we
Ray.
Go.
Really, it was strange.
What'd you dream about? Is your marriage? Was it?
No, 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 no. I was over at my aunt's house, right?
Okay.
And while I was at my aunt's house, I got a phone call, and I picked up the phone. On the other end of the phone was Hulk Hogan.
Brother.
Hulk Hogan. Wait a minute.
Hulk Hogan.
A computer that was locked. Something just locked up there. Are we back? Are we better? Can you guys hear me? Did I lose somebody? Hello.
Hello, Raymond.
There you are. Sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
I don't know. It just, like, stopped all of a sudden.
Yeah, it went. I had some kind of computer issue, I think.
All right.
It was your while you were talking. We just heard you saying Hulk Hogan over and over and over again.
Hulk Hogan. Hulk Hogan.
It was very strange. It was really weird. It was just you going, Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan, Hulk Hogan.
Right, what you gonna do?
We seem to be working again. What you gonna do, gorilla, when the power of Hulk Hogan invades your dreams? Okay, so you were dreaming that you were. Where were you at? You were staying somewhere.
I was at my aunt's house.
And you got a phone call.
Phone call from Hulk Hogan.
From Hulk Hogan of all people.
Yes, and this is Hulk. The Hulkster wanted me to be his tag team partner against the Undertaker and Kane
for
in the main event. And this is right before the show. So I went to my aunt and I said, hey, is there anybody here that has, like, wrestling gear so I can go wrestle with Hulk Hogan?
Have you ever wrestled in your life? Have you ever wrestled?
I wrestled in high school. I don't never professionally.
So you never did professional. But you did, like, you did Greco-Roman or, you know, you did.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she goes, well, your cousin's probably got some clothes. Go talk to him. So I go in there, and he gives me this old pair of gray sweatpants, right? And it was like they were like just this old ratty pair of sweatpants. And he gave me leg warmers to go with.
Leg warmers?
Leg warmers. Oh, wait. There's more. And as my topper, he got this hockey jersey. It was a Mighty Ducks hockey jersey with the duck on the back. And he cut it to be a cape. But he didn't have any boots, so I had to go find a boot. And I kept calling the Hulkster going, I'm looking for wrestling boots. I'll be right there.
This sounds more like a dream that Joe would have.
Can I ask this question?
Yeah.
For the purpose of a dream analysis?
Sure.
In your dream, did you ever make it to the wrestling event, or were you constantly trying to find ways to get there?
I actually woke up before I found the boots.
There's something going on then.
She didn't get to see a 13-inch Python.
The crux of this dream is that you were given an opportunity to do something, and you never could make it there. This is very common. People will sometimes dream that they're about to meet up with a beautiful woman or something that they know, and they never can get together with them. Or they dream, for example, I used to dream all the time that I had to make a basketball game in high school. I was back in high school, and I had to get there to a basketball game to play in the game. And everything I did, it was thwarting, like I missed a ride, and I was having to jog there, and the game was going on. I couldn't make it. And I can't remember what that means, but I think it means it's got something to do with a fear of success, but I can't remember.
Do you ever have the dream where you're back in high school?
I have had that before, yes.
I have two dreams recurring dreams. I dream one that I'm back in high school, and the other one is I'm back working at Deja Vu.
Wow. I wish I could dream I worked at Deja Vu.
Yeah, it's not as fun as it sounds. Because I always dream that I was, you know, that I'm late for my shift to be the DJ.
Right. That means something else. It's got nothing to do with deja vu. It's got to do with you being late.
Does that mean I'm pregnant?
No, I'm just saying a lot of times the dreams, you know, when you dream about something, it's usually got to do with apprehension or something going on in your life.
Maybe a rough marriage?
Perhaps a rough marriage is causing you this dream.
Perhaps a smarmy Englishman on the other side of the phone?
Jalalabad, maybe.
Maybe this is the cause. You never know. This could be the reason.
Brother, yeah, I've been having this dream for a long time, though.
Yeah. No, it's got to do with that. It's apprehension of something, or you're apprehensive about something. But because I once asked about my dream of, I kept having a recurring dream about wanting to play in this basketball game, and I couldn't ever get there. So I just kept trying to get there and couldn't do it. And somebody analyzed it. It might have been Marvin that analyzed it.
Oh, yeah.
But
Marvin
has been through so much therapy, he actually has a pretty good, he has a good grip on this stuff. I would love to have Marvin on the show just to take questions for people. And he can psychoanalyze them since he's been psychoanalyzed so much in his life.
It's a good experience.
You laugh at that. You laugh at that, but I'll tell you, he knows his stuff.
He knows his onions.
Yeah.
I just want to get that out there.
Onions!
Okay. What the hell was that?
News continues. Tuesday. Here's Vanilla Gorilla, Chevy Ray Live.
Wisconsin Rapids, Ray.
Wisconsin Rapids, yes.
Police and firefighters were called this past weekend to help a 20-year-old man out, Ray.
What'd he do? Because
they're nice people. He decided he was going to take a dare from some of his friends.
Okay.
And the dare was that he could make it down the laundry chute.
Oh, never smart.
Oh, unfortunately, right?
Yeah.
He got wedged in with his arms above his head and got stuck with his feet dangling out in the basement.
Oh, this is not good.
No. The family had tried to get him out of the chute for about 10 minutes, and they called 911. They actually had to come in and cut the chute off.
Oh!
Oh, boy.
It's going to sting.
I used to have dreams that I would be stuck in. I would crawl into something.
And get stuck.
And then get stuck, yeah.
Great, now I'm going to dream about that, and I'm claustrophobic.
Yeah, well, but I think that's what caused my claustrophobia. I think that I had, whatever happened to my dreams, I think I think the dreams caused some kind of traumatic stress disorder in me. I'm just saying.
You've gone mad, right?
Yeah, maybe.
You're going to start licking windows now.
You know what my thing is? My new thing? I can't watch elevators on TV even without being afraid of thinking of myself being trapped in an elevator. Is that bizarre?
Not great. No, I'm going to be thinking about it.
And the last time I was in a plane, I was even very, I was very, very, very claustrophobic. Like I was saying to myself, oh my God, I'm going to go nuts. I don't think I can handle this. You know what I mean? It was so freaking me out being in the plane. Isn't that bizarre?
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's having my claustrophobia is, you know, has gotten worse. And I used to want to live. I used to want to live in a high rise. And in fact, my wife and I, when we moved to Syracuse, we almost moved into, we looked at an apartment, this beautiful, beautiful apartment. It was I forgot what floor it was on, but this beautiful building in downtown Syracuse. And I cannot remember, it was on, I cannot remember what floor it was on, but it was up there. It was like the 18th floor or something, or 20th floor, and it meant riding in the elevator every single day. And I was so excited about it, and then we eventually didn't do it, and I think now it's like, there's no way. I could not. I used to want to work at a radio station, and I've got a friend of mine that said, hey, you should come. He works in Chicago, and he said, you should come work at this radio station. I can get you on to do a show at least on the weekends up here. And I was like, yeah. And my fear of being stuck in an elevator, this is honest to God, My fear of being stuck in an elevator actually made me fearful of even attempting to get the job.
Wow.
Because I kept thinking, oh, God, if I get a job on the weekends and I got to take the elevator up to, like, the 40th floor or whatever, what if it gets stuck and I'll be stuck in the elevator? And it just totally freaked me out. Gorilla, do you have to take an elevator at work every day?
Yeah.
Oh, you've never been stuck?
I've been stuck once.
It was actually one day.
Oh, my God. How long were you in there?
No. One day about 6 weeks ago.
Oh, my God. How long
were you? No. Listen.
Oh, I'm going nuts.
Well, it wasn't me.
Oh, okay.
One of my coworkers, I used to work going at 7 in the morning, so we get there about 6:30. And one of my coworkers was coming up in the elevator, and suddenly the whole building lost power. She was in the elevator when the power cut out. And she was in there, and the elevators have computers. It had to cycle. The computer had to cycle, but it eventually just let her out of the next floor. We work on the very top 6th floor of our building.
Oh.
And she was on the 3rd floor when the power went out. The elevator cycled, opened the door, and she just got out and walked the rest of the way up.
Yeah, I'd lose 100 pounds working with you. Because I take the stairs every day.
So you're not freaked out by the...
What starts happening once, it's going to happen more. Gorilla, I pray you're never trapped in there. You're very obese. You wouldn't, I don't know. I mean, you would be,
you would open the elevator doors even if it's
very claustrophobic.
You can open the elevator doors. I mean, it's not like it's,
God.
You can stick your fingers in and just, kind of pull it open.
Oh, my God. It scared the hell out of me. I don't think I can handle it. I don't think I can handle it. I'd go nuts.
I was stuck in an elevator once.
For how long?
It was in between. About, like, nearly an hour. It was, like, hot.
An hour?
Yeah, but...
Oh,
see,
God.
I had to get out of the lift, there was, like, a gap, and I had to hang out. Being fat, there was, like, 3 burly men at the bottom. I think they were firemen or something. I had to, like, kind of grab me when I swung out, because I had to hang from the lift.
Oh, wait a minute. They pulled you through the hole of the elevator?
Yeah, it was a pretty snug fit.
It was that bad?
Yeah, the lift had broken down several times before as well. So
you were stuck.
Yeah, with a gap.
See, Gorilla and I, we couldn't get through the hole. Too fat.
Oh, nah, the ones at work you'd get through.
We'd be stuck.
It's not that bad.
We'd be stuck dead. What would we do?
You know what? Now that you say that, though, there was a day we have an older elevator. It's like one of the ones where you actually have to, like, manually open the doors. And one day I got on it, and I got it on the ground floor. It took me 10 minutes to get to the first floor.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, at this point, I'll just take another elevator.
Yeah, that just scares the hell out of me. I don't know what caused it, but I wasn't that... I read this thing. Tell me if you think this is true. Maybe this is craziness. But I read the claustrophobia is caused by different things. One thing is called, and this is years since I read it, but it's early awareness something syndrome. When you are in your mother's womb, you are aware. You become aware of something. You know what I mean? You're aware that you're in a cramped space or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That causes it. And that might be ridiculous. And you know what? There was more to it. I take it, now that I think about it, it might have been for babies who get pre-natal surgery or something. So I might just be making this up, or not making it up, but I might be putting things to it that I didn't read. But something about sometimes they got to cut open a womb, take the baby out, fix it, and put it back in the womb. And these children are
like
almost
a jigsaw.
Yeah, it's like they grow up warped because they're claustrophobic. So there was something like that, or that I read, or there's something. There's another thing is if you have. if you do get trapped in an elevator or something like that does happen to you, it can cause a traumatic stress or a trauma in your life that you that shows itself every time you're in a claustrophobic situation, or that's what makes you claustrophobic. I mean, I'm scared to death of MRI machines.
Yeah, I'm not big on those
elevators.
Either.
I get very, very uncomfortable in tight spaces.
I'm also acrophobic.
Which one's acrophobic? Is that the height?
Heights, yeah.
Oh, you don't like being in planes? You would hate being in a plane. Or somebody, you know, or not, you would hate being in planes. Small planes.
I've actually been on. I used to take the
Jets are good. Yeah, oh my God, a twin prop.
Twin prop from Toledo to Chicago. I used to take that like twice a year.
I hate the twin prop. I'm fine with a big jet, but oh my God, the twin props drive me crazy.
So what's the fear of going into shopping centers and shopping with your girlfriend? What's that? Because I think I've got that.
That's laziness. It's just guys don't like it.
I hate it so much.
You know, I know why I'm afraid of heights, though.
Why?
When I was young, really young, I had just made the height requirement for the Screaming Eagle at Six Flags.
All right.
And back when I did that, they didn't have, like, the lap belts or the shoulder belts. They had the bar.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And I went on the Screaming Eagle with my uncle, who was a fully grown man at the time.
Oh, you weren't all the way.
And the bar only came back to his side. And not my side.
So you were shaking around in the...
I almost fell out of it.
Yeah, that would freak you out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would cause some... I think that would cause a little bit of stress.
A little bit.
I don't know what... You know, this one... A few years ago, I started getting better. I was claustrophobic when I was young. And then I started getting better. And then two things happened that freaked me out. I was working out. I was actually losing a lot of weight and working out at this Taekwondo place. Or not Taekwondo, Krav Maga place, you know. I was doing kickboxing and really, really feeling good. And one day I went to change in the locker room, and then I went to the bathroom, and the bathroom door broke while I was in it. And I was trapped in the bathroom for like 15 minutes.
That's not good.
Oh, my God. I went crazy.
Couldn't you slide out under the stall?
No. This is a closed bathroom. I think it was a closet at one point. They converted it into a bathroom in the locker room. It's one toilet.
Ooh.
There's one toilet and a little sink, and that's it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I never would have made that.
Oh, I went nuts. I went crazy. And finally, and nobody else was in there. And what I did is the weirdest thing. I was able to grab, like, you know, the door, the handle? Mm-hmm. The handle pulled out, and the other side fell on the floor. I was able to stick, and I forgot what I used. I used something. I didn't have my cell phone or anything. I think they had a toothbrush or something that was in the bathroom, and I stuck it underneath the door, and I was able to grab the little bar that is inside the knob.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to grab the little bar to where it was underneath the door, and I pulled it to where it popped out of the other side, and then I put it in the broken handle that I had and was able to stick it in there and jimmy it until it opened the door. But I swear to God, when I opened the door, I went and sat on the bench, and I was crying practically. I was so stressed from being locked in there. And then another thing is I went to do this haunted house for the JCs. And this stupid woman that was there, I go to her and say, listen, there's nothing claustrophobic in here. Oh, no, no, it's fine. So we start going through this haunted house. And there's this little thing where there's this little square. And I said, what is this? She goes, you got to crawl through it. And I said, listen, I don't do well in cramped spaces. She goes, oh, it's just fine. You just go through the wall. So I crawl in this thing, right? And it's me, Mikey, and two Hooters girls. All right? and we're broadcasting live.
Then they get stuck with their fake boobs?
No, no, no. I'll tell you, this girl Kayla, I will forever be indebted to this girl Kayla. Because her ass got me through this, but I will explain the story.
Mm.
We crawl into this hole, and I thought you were just going to crawl through the hole and you'll go out the other side. And it's pitch black. So we crawl into the hole, and you run into a wall. And I'm like, oh, my God, you got to be kidding me. Now, this hole is only so wide, the side of my stomach is rubbing against it. Have you ever seen these movies where people are crawling through, people are like crawling through a duct, you know, or something?
Yeah.
It's like that, except it's all black. So I'm crawling through this thing, and then you got to turn, and then there's like a blue light, so it was somewhat lit. And I realized that the tunnel goes, it goes in and then it goes up. Like a wheelchair ramp. And you're still in this hole. So I'm crawling, I'm like, oh my God. So I've got to crawl up that little ramp. And I'm like, okay, well at least I'll get to the top of the ramp. And then I'll be able to get out of this effing thing because it's making me crazy. So I mean, I'm sweating, okay? And my heart is racing. I was having chest pains. I was so freaked out by this. So I crawl up to the top.
Wow.
And when I crawl to the top, I realize you got to go back down on the other side.
Oh.
And at this point, I'm like, I am freaking out. And Mikey is right up behind me. Like, his head's almost in my ass.
Like normal.
He's like, man, this is tiring. And I'm like, dude, I am freaking out. I am effing freaking out. And he's like, what's wrong? I said, I am claustrophobic. I'm freaking out. And Kayla, who was the Hooters girl, was crawling in front of me. And she goes, are you okay? I said, I'm freaking out. So she slowed down, okay, to where her butt was right in front of my face. And I'm serious. I told myself, I'm going to look.
Fish dying here.
No, I said, I'm going to look at Kayla's ass instead of looking at the walls or to realize how cramped a space I'm in. And it was, I wasn't looking at her ass sexually. Don't get me wrong. I had many times in the past. But I wasn't looking at her ass sexually. I was looking at her ass as like, I'm going to focus on this orange Hooters pants ass.
And why not?
Okay. I'm going to focus on it instead of the space. So we go down the hatch. Okay, so then we get down to the hatch, right? And I'm like, okay, at least I'm not going to be able to get out of this. Oh, hell no. Hell no. It went on again. You had to curl around again. At this point, my knees are hurting because we've been crawling so much. I'm very cramped. I can barely make the curves. I'm sweating. I'm so claustrophobic, I'm miserable at this point. But yet I'm focusing on Kayla the Hooters girl's ass the whole way. Finally, we get to crawl out of the hole, right? And I'm like, oh, thank God. No, we crawl out of the hole into between these walls. And you got to stand up, and you got to, like, you're up against the wall with your hand like this, you know, and
yeah.
it is so tight that my stomach is pressed up against the other wall in front of me. So if I would have been 5 pounds fatter, I would have never been able to get out. That's how tight it was.
Wow.
Mikey's pushing me to get me to squeeze through. And finally we get through, and I'm like, you know what, F this. I'm never going through one of these goddamn haunted houses again. This is ridiculous. I couldn't sleep that night. I think I had traumatic stress disorder after doing that. I swear to God, after doing that.
Sounds like hard work.
It messed with me so much.
Well, isn't that the point of the haunted house, though?
Oh, my God. But, yeah, but guys coming at me with fake chainsaws and people jumping out and scaring me was funny. Going through that horrible claustrophobic experience, that was terrible. And then even worse, I find out that when we went through the one thing, and I was freaked out, that there was this guy sitting behind the wall. Pickett told me this. He said, yeah, there was a guy behind the wall. He'd do his knock on it and say, I want out, and they would have let you out. Like, you mother effers.
I went through, when I lived in Ohio, we had an old hydroelectric plant that was decommissioned, and the JCs redid that every year as the haunted whatever.
Right.
And they had one of those where it was like a winding hallway, and it was completely dark, and you had to feel your way along.
Oh, my God, it's terrible.
And I was leading our procession. It was me, a girl I was dating at the time, God Clown, and the girl he was dating at the time, I think. And so it was like I was leading the pack. We're like feeling our way through this thing. And apparently there was a guy in there who was supposed to jump out of one of the walls and scare you. And as I was feeling, I was kind of like smacking the wall, and I ended up smacking him.
Take that.
Yeah. And there was a big sign at the front that said, please don't hit the people inside.
Oh, that's great.
And I was like, I'm sorry, man. He goes, no problem. That was me all the time.
It's an instinct. I mean, how do you know what I mean? It's an instinct, right?
Well, he hadn't even moved yet. I was still trying to feel the wall, and I was hitting the wall trying to find out where it was. I ended up hitting him.
You remember the ultimate haunted house story comes from Taylorville, Illinois. This is the ultimate haunted house story. Gully, I don't know if you've heard this story. Gorilla, you might have. This is one of Sean's favorites. They did a haunted house in Taylorville, Illinois, and it was probably 10 years ago, maybe. I can't remember the exact amount of years, but. So these guys put together this haunted house, and, people always put on their makeup and they try to jump out and scare people. So when you use chainsaws in a haunted house,
you take the chain off.
What you do is you take the chain off or you make it to where the chain doesn't move, okay? And for whatever reason, this guy in the haunted house decided it would be funny to use the chainsaw, and he was just like, well, I'm just not going to, I won't really bring it down toward anybody, I'll just use it for sound. But he never turned off the belt or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
Honest to God, true story, one of the first people going through the haunted house goes through, guy jumps out with the chainsaw, and his Jason mask going, yeah, green! And he's moving his chainsaw around. The person is so scared in front of him, they go, oh my God! And they put their hand up to protect them. And in doing so, they put their hand into the chainsaw.
Nice.
And it cut off, and I forgot Sean's, but it cut off fingers or the hand. Something got cut off.
Somebody
got sued, and the whole, I mean, it's a horrible, horrible story about a haunted house. And I think it was one of the first people through the haunted house.
Unlucky. This haunted house thing is definitely something that you do over there. We don't have this kind of thing over here. Like.
Right. That's because Americans are we're men.
I don't know what it is. I don't know our fascination in this country with ghosts and goblins and horror and haunted stuff.
You do have a fixation with it, I've noticed.
Yeah, because look at all these movies we have.
Mm-hmm.
We got 8 different Grudges and Saws and... Well, I guess Saw isn't a horror movie, but we have The Grudge and The Last House on the Left and The Haunting in Connecticut and The Paranormal Activity and...
The Grudge was actually a Japanese movie.
Yeah, but it was still a...
It was originally a Japanese movie.
Yeah,
they redid it.
It's still it's a horror movie, right? A ghost movie or something?
Right, but it's Japanese story.
You're definitely heavily invested in the occult.
Yeah,
we love to
put those things out. Love to put those movies out.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite's End of Days, where Arnold Schwarzenegger fights the devil and wins.
It throws himself on the sword.
He wins. Arnold Schwarzenegger successfully defeats the devil. My God.
Get to the chopper.
I said that this weekend, too. Get to the chopper.
I've actually been watching Arnold Schwarzenegger all week. So, there you go.
Yeah, watch End of Days. End of Days is awesome. Arnold Schwarzenegger actually fights the devil.
Who else would you want to fight the
devil?
It
is weird, though, because the English don't do that, do they? You guys don't have a lot of movies like that.
Well, 28 Days Later.
By the way, yeah, but that's a zombie movie. That's not a ghost.
That was a good movie, though.
Yeah.
I really liked the second movie
the second one was a bit poor.
There's not a... You guys don't have a lot of poltergeist-type movies.
Not really.
That does seem to be an American and Japanese phenomenon, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, DC would know. He's big. He knows. He's in the chat room. He knows movies, but... That seems to be an American and Japanese thing. I don't think any other country is into those movies so much. Although, I guess some of the... I was going to say some of the Mexican directors, but most of them are influenced by American movies, so they would be. But I don't know if any South American movies are into that, but it does seem that the United States and Japan are the ones that love those movies like that. Everybody else seems to make, you know... movies with meaning or, you know, like they want to move you emotionally, not frighten you, not move your bowels from fear.
We tend to overinvest in period dramas, which most of the time I don't like, so.
I think my favorite's I love political drama.
Me too.
I do love political thrillers. Those are the best.
Have you ever seen Deterrence?
The what?
It's called Deterrence.
The Turns.
It's a movie. It's got Kevin Pollak in it.
No, I don't know if I've seen that.
Kevin Pollak is the president.
Oh, I've never seen it.
Watch that.
I'll have to. I love political thrillers, man. Any political thriller. Like The West Wing? The West Wing is my favorite television show of all time. It is so brilliant a television show.
Ever since I pirated that over a year ago, it has stayed on my computer.
Isn't it amazing? Isn't it just a great? I watch it over and over again. I haven't watched it about a year. I gotta watch it again. Speaking of bad, I'm watching. You know what I'm watching right now? Chicago Hope.
Ugh. Awful.
Well, but that's it. I'm watching bad television to put me to sleep at night.
There isn't anything on, apart from 24 right now. There's nothing
I stopped watching 24 after two episodes. It's like, it's the same thing.
Flash Forward, that's a good series.
I'm enjoying Flash Forward. You know, tonight V comes back.
Ooh, oh. I like V.
We'll see.
I wasn't impressed.
I like Flash Forward better than
I like
V.
The woman in V, I'll tell you that.
Did you like Flash Forward last week, the second episode? Where
I really just enjoy that show.
Did you like the second episode with the twist of who Charlie from Lost's uncle was?
Yeah.
I guess he's Simon on that show, but when his uncle shows up, wasn't that awesome?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a pretty good show, and now it turns out that not everybody was affected by the flash forward, and the guys had the rings on, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good. Let me give you guys another tip, and I'll talk about this more with the Dumb Media Show when DC and I recorded Thursday. But a new show that's on, and it airs tonight at 9 and 10 o'clock our time on FX. And Gully, you got to download this show. It's called Justified.
Okay.
Starring Timothy Oliphant. It is so good. It's called Justified. Watch this show.
Have you been watching Caprica at all?
No, I haven't finished all of Battlestar Galactica yet. So my wife and I just started Battlestar Galactica, and we're in the first season. And I actually did that from.
I wish I could do that. I wish I could have waited till it was all done and watched it front to back.
I think it was Gorilla that finally talked me into watching Battlestar. But I think it was you, Gorilla. But thanks, because it is a fantastic show. I never knew.
Man, it gets so much.
You know what it was? You know what it was? Now I remember. I was listening to Howard Stern on Sirius, and he mentioned it, and then later on that same day, you mentioned it. And I'm like, okay, there's two people talking about how amazing this show is. So that's when I said, and my nephew Tyler, told me that I got all seasons of this. He was at Walmart or something, saw him on sale. So he got all the seasons, and he said it was great. And this all came within like a 2-day period. So it was from them that I said, that's it, I'm going to go get this series. So I got it all, and my wife and I have slowly but surely been watching it. And it is great television.
It will blow your mind.
I can't
mind.
Wait. I'm like, I think we're 10 or 11 episodes into the first season. And it's cool because, you know, the Cylons look like humans and you don't know who a Cylon is. I'm telling you, there's some really cool, and the president has cancer. And,
fairly cool.
There's a lot of good stuff. And Baltar's crazy and...
Baltar gets better as the series goes on, too.
Oh, Baltar's insane. I mean, he's...
I don't know where you're at yet, but you're going to learn many things about this guy.
We just got done with the episode where Starbuck walks in, and Baltar's playing with himself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that one. Yeah, he thinks he's with Six, and...
Yeah, he's very bizarre, and he's building this... the Cylon detector machine.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that show is brilliant, man. It's a good show. You want to know what was a great twist in that show early? And I don't want to give it away to people who've never seen it, but when Baltar has to have, when Baltar has to have a scapegoat for why there's the Cylon machinery in the deck, in the flight deck of the, Galactica, and he says, and he needs a scapegoat, so he picks that guy who gives everybody the tours. You know what I'm talking about? There's a guy who gives everybody a tour, and he says, that's because he's a Cylon. So they take and they leave that guy in the station where they get the guns or whatever, and they take off. And then there's a twist at the end that goes, oh my God, it was really good. You know what I'm talking about? It was one of the very first episodes.
Yeah, I can't. It's been a long time since I've seen the first ones.
Yeah, it was really cool.
I remember what you're talking about, because they had to rearm. And
yes.
they had to go pick all the stuff up.
And the guy's a Cylon who's there, and he gets trapped with a Dama. It's pretty good. Anyway, I'm enjoying it, so that's pretty good. I'm trying to think if there's any other thing we got to get to, because the show is way past ending time. I've got to end the show.
You know what? I know we're probably going to keep going on this one, but you know what show was great that they canceled too early?
What's that?
Did you ever watch Kings?
No, but I heard great things about it.
It was fantastic.
I heard great stuff about it.
And they only did like 12 episodes.
I heard
that
it was
show
great.
Was incredible.
Yeah, I know. I never did not get a chance to see it. Well, Battlestar Galactica is my new thing. I'm thoroughly enjoying it.
Oh, you'll love Caprica. If you like Battlestar.
We're also, of course, tonight, best thing on TV tonight, Lost.
I won't watch it till tomorrow.
Tonight we're going to find out, the true origin of Richard Halpert. Isn't that his name? Halpert. Richard Halpert tonight, what his background is. Was he on the, you think he was on the boat, right? The Black Rock or whatever?
Yeah, I'm almost positive he was one of the guys on the Black Rock.
See, I think he's some type of, you know what my theory about it is? I think it's the Lost Island of Atlantis. But I don't know.
I don't know.
Widmore's on the island and.
Sawyer's going crazy.
Sawyer's going nuts and all the good guys are all together, Jack and Hurley and. And somehow bends with them. There's a lot of... It's such a great show. Such a great show. DC's predicting that Richard was a prisoner on the boat.
And that's very possible.
That could be it, yeah. Because I think Richard's older than the Black Rock. I think he's hundreds of years old. Anyway, lots of nice twist. Hopefully on Lost, and I'm very excited. All right, I've got to end the show. I want to thank everybody for listening. It's a blast as always. Gorilla, thank you as always for the debate. Gully, thank you for being Gully.
Thanks.
Thank you for loving the chicken.
And as always, Sean Bullitt would like to say thank you to the chicks. Hey, thank you so much for downloading this program. So many of you download it every day, either from thepodcast.com or iTunes, or and now Stitcher through your mobile phones. Thank you. Keep spreading the word, won't you? That's it for us. Chubby Ray, live, coming to an end. Say goodbye, Gorilla.
Goodbye, Gorilla.
Say goodbye, Gully.
Poppy Bogle.
Teddy Bogle, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow. Bye-bye.